tell you, I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago. And I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Welcome to NYSHA, when niggas around don't even like ya. Niggas don't give you credit, they rather fight ya.
Peace YouTube, welcome back to the D-Week and Hippie Show with Spliff and Choo Choo. Spliff and Choo Choo die here, but y'all know the ball gotta keep rolling. D-Week and Hippie here, man, and we got a special guest here, man. We already been talking, y'all already been hearing what we talking about, man. Y'all know what he is, y'all know who he is.
Not everybody.
Not yet, but they will, you know what I'm saying? He's, to me, I'ma just give you your phone. This is how I see it, right? Sparrow is like, I consider myself Joe Biden. You saw it. Not in a negative way.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You're one of the hardest working people that I know in independent media. And every time I look at your page, this nigga's everywhere. I'll be like, bro, can you see in one of these? Alright, 7 years.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be a little further than where I am, like analytics wise, numbers wise. But I don't. Like, I just told you my age when I walked in. You was like, damn, you that old? I learned that shit don't happen how you think it's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not somebody that quits easy. So I don't like starting something and
not seeing it through.
Not finishing it. Like, I started college and I was about to quit. And my mom's was like, you started already. You can't, you might as well finish it. And I'm like, all right. So I did what I did and I finished college. You know what I'm saying? So when it came to this, I was like, yo, I had asked Cole. We was like 25 episodes in. I was like, yo, you see yourself partying at 40? He like, yeah. I'm like, I'm potting at 40, bro. He like, oh, all right. I'm like, I'm potting at 40, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be here at least 10 years.
Uh-huh.
I want to see where that takes me.
Uh-huh.
7 years, we at almost 400 subscribers. But I feel like the community is building because we get more comments. We starting to get more likes.
Uh-huh.
And you do see more subscribers, like, on a weekly basis, you know what I'm saying? So the more you pay attention to it, the more it happens. But I'm not into that part of it. I'm into, like, when I'm in the streets, people, sometimes I'll see somebody watching the pod on the train.
Yeah.
Like, over their shoulder on the phone. I'll be like, oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
I won't say nothing because it's like, that's fire, you know what I'm saying? So people talking to me like, yo, I see what you're doing, bro.
Uh-huh.
And I might in my head be thinking, and you could have wrote that on the YouTube channel. But
yeah,
if you telling me in person, it's still a form of support.
Yeah.
So it's like the conversation we was just having. I would love to have my own studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hell yeah. It's just that life is there at the same time. So it's like, you got to take care of life. But this is my baby too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got no kids. I don't got no responsibilities. Nah, so I take this as that. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is for me. Like, I love doing it. And still, when I set up, when I still get that feeling, I'll be like, all right, cool. When I don't get that feeling no more, I'm going to be like, all right, we just put it away for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I still get that feeling, bro. Like, I wasn't thinking about today. I was thinking about next week. And when you hit me, I'm like, hell yeah, let's get it. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I'm ready for it whenever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I just love this shit. I like.
But then we scheduled for today.
I thought because I talked to you on Sunday, I thought I was. Meaning
all next for week. Next Wednesday. Yeah,
because I think on Friday I'ma have, I don't want to say it on air, but I'ma have you was just sitting down with him, Ace.
Yeah, okay.
Ace General. I'ma have him on the pod. So,
oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Shout out to Ace, man.
He
real supportive, man. Like, I only met him like 2 or 3 times, and he already like, he answers the DMs back and all that. I'm like,
All right,
that's what's up, bro. I fuck with people like that because I'm like that.
I had never, I've heard of Ace before. I'd never met him until that episode. But I definitely heard of him.
Well,
and he just.
Money and Violence.
I wasn't into it.
Yeah, he was on Money and Violence. And I knew him from like throwing like parties and shit back in the day and all that type of shit. So.
And that's what people tell him. Like, Buck was telling me, like, yeah, he was in Money and Violence and he was, you know, he did events and stuff like that. But I heard of him, like, his name comes up often, but I never met him.
Yeah.
But I met him that day, and the energy was just right. Like,
Dope dude. But peace, YouTube. Welcome back to the D-Rick and Hippie Show with Smith and Choo Choo. Smith and Choo Choo out here. But y'all know the ball got to keep rolling. D-Rick and Hippie here, man. And we got a special guest here, man. We already been talking. Y'all already been hearing what we talk about, man. Y'all know what he is. Y'all know who he is. He's
not everybody.
Not yet. But they will. You know what I'm saying? He's, to me, I'm going to just give you your flowers right now. This is how I see you, right? Sparrow is like, I consider myself Joe Buttons. You Charlemagne. Not no. In a negative way.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You one of the hardest working people that I know in independent media. And every time I look at your page, this nigga's everywhere. I'd be like, bro, can I sneak in with you in one of these
spaces? You actually, and this is why we was talking about, with Dolly. Like, I, you know, yes, you can actually.
That's a fact,
I
would love bro.
That. I received that. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've met you through doing events. You know what's funny? I knew your name before I knew you.
Dope.
I knew the Don Cole and Drinking Hippie Show before you. But I think I knew Don Cole when we were younger. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he ever said that, but I think I know. Where's he from?
Brooklyn. No, like. But he's from my block. But before he moved to my block, he was like in Bushwick. He was like in, like on Marcus Garvey and all that type shit. He was still in our vicinity.
All right.
But like I told you, when I say where he from and I say Brooklyn, the nigga just everywhere. He be everywhere.
Cause I think I could have sworn I've known him.
Ran into each other.
Yeah. I could have sworn like when I did meet him after one of the events, I could have sworn I knew him already, mm-hmm. as if we kind of like grew up together. I could be wrong, but that's what I swore. But I knew the brand name before I actually met you, and when I met you, you know, you was doing events, you had the pod going. And in my head, I was just like, I'm not really dealing with nobody's fucking ego right now. It was actually Buck that introduced us. And you was just a cool dude. Like, I was like, oh, okay. So he has all this stuff going on and he's still got a head on his shoulder. So I was like, all right.
I'll be nervous as shit with them showcases. And that was always. When I started doing them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, shit. But, yeah, I don't got no big head pause. I don't got no ego or none of that shit. I try not to.
Yeah.
Because I know what I'm doing. So it's like, I like sports a lot. So I reference sports a lot. So it's like Kobe, like, job done? Nah. Yeah. Job ain't done, nigga, until mom's is good.
Yeah.
That's really what I want.
Uh-huh.
When mom's is good, when she, I give her a key to a crib and she like, oh, I don't got to work. You don't got to work no more. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Then I worry about me. Like,
that's a great outlook. I guess that's the ultimate goal for it. So
they took care of us, right?
Yes.
She had me when she was 16. She was playing ball and all that when she was younger, so her plans derailed. So it's like, all right. Nigga, at 9 years old, I went to Associated and started bagging groceries because I saw her working two jobs.
Oh, wow.
I was like, nah, I got to give you something. 200 and quarters.
Uh-huh.
$200. I'm giving her all of it because I'm not smoking weed at the time. Yeah. So it's like, I just need a little $5 for snacks for school.
Uh-huh.
But you know, hard work gets you somewhere, even if it's not monetary.
Yeah.
It gets you to know somebody like you, somebody like other people that I know, you know what I'm saying, that give you your flowers, like, yo, I see you. I knew you before I knew you.
Yeah.
And that's fire.
Yeah, it's the truth, man. It's the truth. I'm happy. This was supposed to happen for years.
For years. I've been like, yo, Sparrow,
more Don Crawford, because he's the one who invited me up here the first couple times.
That nigga
never happened.
You look procrastinator up in the dictionary. See myself like. But yeah, this was supposed to happen a long time ago. I just feel like great minds think alike.
Yeah.
And we in the same space. And you doing your thing, bro. I'd be like, damn, this nigga be crushing certain shit that I want to do. I'd be like, ooh, wee. Especially all that shit with the Liberty, when you was doing it with the Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, ooh, there he go. I be living through my niggas, you know what I'm saying? I like that shit. I'm a person that empathizes a lot, good and bad. So I put myself in people's shoes. So I could feel your joy when you doing it. I could feel her pain when she hurting. So it's like, oh, shit, you know what I mean? So
I wish I would have known that, because I didn't.
Now you know it.
Now I know. I can't even finish what I want to say.
Holla at me whenever. Yeah, holla at me whenever. But I'm down because, like you saying, I want my name to be known so we could start making these major moves. Because
yeah.
Behind, that's what I want. There was one person missing for the screening for Dolly Tyson's doc. I wanted me, you, and him to sit down and talk because he's doing shit in media too. I want to do like a award show with us.
Really?
Yeah, so because we know so many people. But I feel your energy right now. I feel what you mean. Like, it's hard. That's like a lot of work.
I don't think that it's hard to put together. I think it's unfair to award somebody. I never liked or cared for independent awards because it can't be honest, especially how it's been. So I don't know what you have in your head, but how it's been is that you get you get a bunch of people to submit, and there's one, let's say Academy, because with the commercial awards it's an Academy. You have one single Academy that is judging who's going to be nominated. So there's no standard for this nomination. It's submission, and I'm going to pick who should get nominated. There's no bylaws or guidelines for it. Okay. And then you tell people to vote. So when I did, when I got nominated for Vote Awards or Viewer's Choice Awards, it's nothing for me to throw that thing up into my story or throw it on my page and just squash a competition. Whether or not I'm doing anything, and I think it's unfair that there's talented artists, there's people that's really, really working hard, and when we do it the way it's been done, not what could be, but if we do it the way it's been done, it's unfair to the artists that are actually working and may not have that type of support. Perfect example, we were just talking about your show, and you talked about, you know, you was around for 7 years, you know, your subscribe was going up, your engagement is going up. All right, and then so you submit to get nominated, you get chosen, and you actually are doing your thing, and you are putting feet to the ground and pen and paper. You actually grinding it out, and then you take somebody else who may have started 2 years ago,
five episodes
in, 400,000 subscribers because they fucking got lucky and locked up on, and then they win. That wouldn't be fair for you.
I see what you mean.
So that's why I've often stayed away from the independent awards, because it's not fair.
It is difficult to scan. Like you're saying, it's a big city. Mm-hmm. It's New York. You got to touch 5 boroughs and touch the hoods inside the boroughs. Yes. So it's like, oh, you only talking about the artists that you know.
Yeah.
So some independent artists that's following you, and you might not hit that follow button back, they might be like, bro, like, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm going crazy right now. So I understand that, because like you just said, I do 2-3 episodes a week.
Mm-hmm.
My cast, Spliff and Chun Chun be like, bro, good today, nigga. Yeah. Like, what we going to talk about? I took a shit today? Like, what's up? I'm like, bro, I got it. But it would be difficult. So that's why I would love, that's why to have the conversation is better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Than instead of being like coming up with this idea and be like, yo, look. And niggas be like, oh, all right. And not too much conversation, too much shit come behind it. You know what I'm saying? So that's good to have the conversation. But I see what you're saying, like,
because even with I'm sorry,
no, I didn't want to,
even with commercial honors, whether it's the Emmys, the Grammys, the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
SAGs, whatever it is, the Academy network is so huge. Like, there's over, I know for the Grammys, because I'm in the Grammys, there's over 50,000 members of the Grammy. And how, whatever their guidelines are for submission for nomination, or because artists have to submit to be nominated.
Yeah.
Like, when somebody don't get nominated for the Grammys, that's because they didn't submit for it. So whatever that guideline is for the submission, over 50,000 people are choosing, because the network is just so, the country is so big, the network has to be so huge. So I just, you know, prior to a conversation I would have with you, just the way it's been done, I just always stay clear of independent awards, because it's biased. As much as you don't think that it is biased, it's biased. The people who's nominated, the people who get who's there, you know, there's no, one of the things that I hate about independent awards is that there's nothing that comes with that award. In real life and in real time, when you win a Grammy, your bookings prices go up, you know what I'm saying? Your sales go up, streams increase.
That's a fact.
When you fucking win an Oscar, you get much of movie role offers,
brand deals, all that.
Yeah. All of, so with independence, is like, they win this award, and then what? Like,
yeah,
what comes with this? What are we gonna take on these the four winning artists, the four major winning artists, which would it be album of the year, artist of the year, female artist of the year, male artist of the year, and shit like that. We'll take those major artists, and are we going to push them after this award season or after
like
the show?
Put them niggas like on a city tour, or something like that.
So there's never nothing that comes
after. But they're like my thinking with you saying that, right? Because we know, like, all right, boom. Brand names, right? Like, just like Oscar, Emmys, Mercedes, all this other shit, right? It's a name. It's like somebody's last name or something like that, right? So they built it to where it's at. So in the beginning, it was what you talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, who, like, if, like, when you first started the first, you know, whoever, Ford or whatever, right? People was like, nah, nigga, I got my horse and carriage. Like, what the fuck is this? I'm good on that. So you getting shitted on, but the percentage of people that did start with you, those the people that's like, oh shit, we on to something. So my deterrent to what you saying is just like, what if we do start it just per se 2025, right? By 2030, the shit is what we saying. Like, you are getting distribution deals from somebody that we know.
I believe
this and that. So it's just like, cause I hate when people, like, I don't like award shows neither. I don't watch it, but I hate when people talk about the Grammys, right?
Yeah.
Especially our community. But you shit on the BET Awards. Like, I think the BET Awards is as big as the Grammys. If you make it that. It's been around forever, bro.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I got you. We're gonna put a little sound effect there. But I just think it's like we complain about not having shit, and the shit that we do have that we can make bigger than what it is, we just shit on it.
But see, I challenge you on that one because all right, so you have the Carters talking about you have the Carters talking about, you know, B never won album of the year. She had all these songs of the year, but she never won album of the year. For one, if you don't know the history of the Grammys was created by JY people. If you know what I want to say.
JY people?
JY. They live around here. They wear...
Okay.
I know. Okay. So it was created by JY people, and it was created because European award shows in that time, I think this goes back to like the 1920s, European award shows used to keep them out of their award shows.
Okay.
So the Grammys were created, this is Oscars and this is Grammys. The Grammys were created by the JY people to just honor their own. So it was comic books, everything that was created by them was created because the Europeans were keeping them out of American culture. So it's already, and for a right reason, but the truth is it was already created for certain people by certain people. It wasn't, you know what I mean? So I think that when the Carters complain about that, go where you love. That's where what you said comes in. Go to the BET Awards. You don't see Beyonce and Jay-Z at the Soul Train Awards, at the BET Awards. You don't see that. Beyonce goes to the fucking Oscars and she ain't even an actress. So
come on.
So it's like,
so go. So if you have that name there, whatever comes with that, that aura, the people around it, the photographers, the paparazzi, all that comes to this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh shit, they back here.
Which makes us as the viewers tune into the
BET
Awards. No, the Grammys.
Yeah, the Grammys.
The Grammys or the Oscars. And, you know, the new talent goes to the BET Awards. The new R&B talent goes to the Soul Train Awards. But we don't get our heavy hitters at these award shows. Yeah. Can you imagine what the ratings would be like if Beyonce just said, I'm going to do a... Not a satellite performance.
No. Because
she can that and send it in. She's done that plenty of times before.
I'm there. 30-minute set.
Yeah, I'm doing my set. I'm there. I'm celebrating amongst my own people. I don't feel bad for that. Like, this woman got over 1,000 BET awards, and she complaining about one damn Grammy.
I guarantee you get that BET album of the year every year.
Yes, every time she put out a project.
And people will hate on that.
Yeah.
But... You getting celebrated the way you want to. That's
just your people.
Yeah, that's just my thing. You know what I'm saying? So people could crack on the BET Awards if they want to, but I think that it's still something that you should hold proud. Like, yo, bro.
Absolutely.
Black Entertainment Award? Yes, sir. But that's me.
It's just not how it's wired, which doesn't wire us in that way. Like, if we don't get that. When Michael Jackson came to the BET Awards, that was one of the biggest moments in black entertainment. That was unearthed.
I don't want to wear iron clothing. I want to wear polo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's just how we get wired. I need the name brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I get an independent, people gonna be like, what's that? I don't need people questioning me. Bro, fuck that. Live you your truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I started doing this year. I like to buy a lot of independent clothing from people. Cause, especially if it's good. You know what I'm saying? So if it's fire, I'd be like, yo, let me get that. You know what I mean? Cause I still go shopping in the stores and shit. But I just think that goes for entertainment too. Like I eventually want to start doing like mini web series and web movies just to see how it will look.
I know it's your first produced documentary with Dolly Tyson.
Yeah,
that was really good. I liked it.
Thank you, bro. I
think you should have had more people interviewing about her.
Yeah,
but I think like I saw your vision.
Me too. I felt like if I could have had like artists that worked with her and the studio engineers and shit like that, but. For the first one, I was like, let me keep it enclosed and see how it's going to turn out. You know what I'm saying? So, I was proud of that moment, too. I like that shit. That was my first major production from Hippie Vision Productions. Even though everything on this channel was under that, that was the first thing where I bought out that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just trying to keep the ball.
It shows your range, man. It shows you are really... From what I get from you, you are really a media person. I don't think that this is a phase for you. I don't think this is a clout chase for you. I think you really are into media. You carry yourself like it, and you have the ethic of it. I really think it's some gold there at the end of the tunnel.
Bro,
for
Cole, shout out to Cole. Cole used to record Star and Buck Wow, and we used to listen to that shit
together. Me too.
Like, yo. This is crazy, bro.
Me too, man.
Then the Breakfast Club came. They was wilding too for a little bit in the beginning. And then all the podcast shit started happening. I was like, yo, bro, I could step in that lane, bro. Fuck it. And I knew it was destined. We went to SOBs one night, like 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So we was like on episode 5 or 6 or some shit. Benny the Butcher was performing. So we watching, boom, boom. I'm like, yo, Cole, we've been standing up the whole time. I'm like, yo, bro, my back is killing me, bro. I'm ready to bounce. He's like, nah, Benny coming out right now. So we watched a little bit of Benny. So now we leaving, right? So I'm leaving. I'm in the front. So I turn around to tell Cole. I'm like, yo, we about to go out this way. And when I turn around, somebody's standing between me and Cole. Joe Buttons.
Uh-huh.
Standing right there. I said, oh, shit, Joe. He like, yeah, what up, bro? I'm like, yo, I started a podcast this year because of you, bro. Love. He was like, yo, keep doing it, bro. And he walked out. You know what I'm saying? Because I know how Joe is. I don't want to talk too long.
That nigga was horrible at fucking Summer Jam.
So that shit just made me felt like it was like destined for me to do this shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep doing it. You know what I mean? So I want to talk more about you, NWO Sparrow. I want to talk about NWO News, how that got started. Mm-hmm. And what was the format in the beginning and what you got going now and how you see it in the future?
So we're gonna go back like that. I'm gonna be rambling.
do it how you want to, you know what I mean?
So NWO News got really started. Let me start from here. I always loved news anchoring. I always was into news anchoring. You know, I was the weirdo in my family that they were coming to.
And all that.
Yeah. Like, my cousin would come into my room like, yo, what the fuck are you watching, bro? like, and it'd be CNN and it'd just be news and things like that. So I always wanted to do it, but being from where I'm from, it wasn't something that I indulged in or engaged in. Because that's just not what we do. You know what I'm saying? You either a rapper, a basketball player, or you in the street heavy. And that's on us. That's on us for being closed-minded, but also from society, being from where I'm from, there was no programs that geared towards being a news anchor. You just knew them on TV. I didn't have it in school. I didn't have it nowhere. So it was just like a thought in my head, and it just went away. And then I had started a production company, but like a live event production company.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going well, and I was just trying to grow it. And I was... I reached out to somebody that I knew from BET. His name was Chris Bivens. Shout out to Chris Bivens. Real, real dude. I love Chris Bivens. He changed my life, actually. I always want to make sure I give him his flowers. I reached out to Chris Bivens, and they had... You remember Hustle in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
All right, so they had Hustle in Brooklyn, and I was like, hey, Chris, I have these artists here that are real hustlers in Brooklyn, because I don't know what the fuck BET put on TV. We didn't know none of them niggas from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I think the only one we probably knew was JB. But everybody's like, who the fuck were these people? Yeah. I feel like they came from Connecticut and just got casted.
Some actors.
Yeah, just they do that. So it wouldn't shock me. So I was like, yo, Chris, like, I, you know, these artists are really hustling, whether it be artists, producers, things. I had a whole list of it, and I'm like, yo, I could pipeline them from my series into the show or into anything that BET got going on with reality TV. And he kept it a stack with me. He said, we could do that. That could work, but I'm more interested in working with you. And I was like, well, nigga, that's not what the fuck I called you. Nigga.
I'm trying to get this one right there.
I'm trying to get this off the ground. He was like, nah, like, we made Chris talk like for an hour or two, and it was just a good conversation about everything. You know, it was a business call, but it was just a conversation about everything. And he was like, "Yo, you're really somebody that should be doing media, not trying to help other people that you can't even guarantee that they're gonna work well." Mm. And that was something, as you know, you do events as well. You know, that's something that you have to think too. You putting your name on the line at a venue, at, you know what I'm saying, and these artists be bugging the fuck out.
A lot of other people, yeah.
Yeah, so. He said, you know, he'll let me think about it. And what he did was he re-sparked that love that I have for anchoring.
Ooh, put it back in your brain.
Yeah.
Like, from the back to the front. Like, yo, remember?
Yeah. And I talked to, shout out to Buck Madoff, 88 for the Trenches. Shout out to him.
Yeah. I talked to him. I just had to fit it on earlier.
You should have had that on for this episode. He's going to say something about it.
I wanted to put the...
I talked to him and he said, you know, but you know that you like news anchoring, so maybe you should do something like that. And I was, you know, what I do is something that I believe we never seen, especially how it started. Now, how End Up Your News look now, it's something that people do when they see, but when I started, it was actually like news style shot.
Yeah.
So Buck was like, yo, this could be opportunity. You have this nigga that's willing to help you, that's from a network, and he's willing to help you. Like, you should do it. This is during 2020 pandemic. So, mm-hmm. So I started in 2020, and then I just started it, and it took off. I think even before, I think I had so much support from people from doing live event production,
yeah,
that when I even announced the show, Roku hit me up that same week that I announced. I had no content, I had nothing, I had no. Yeah,
but they knew you.
Yeah, but I think it came from the support, because one of the best things about the pandemic, from a social media standpoint, because I know mm-hmm. people died, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to get the. Drinking and Hippie show ticking off the air.
Nah, I'll say something crazy before you say that. I missed it.
Well, from a social,
I kind of missed the pandemic. Forget
shit. Me too, man.
Forget
what? From a social media.
Rest in peace to Uncle Zed, man.
From a social media standpoint, the algorithm, everybody was online. Like, no, yeah. Nobody was too busy to be online.
You really
so
had to network.
Algorithm hit online crazy. So when I announced it,
keep that in your head, bro. Pandemic, we had to leave the studio. I didn't have all these wires. We was in a fucking empty room just talking, nigga. You just
heard. I remember that.
Go ahead.
I remember that. I remember that.
But the numbers was going up.
It was for everybody, bro. Like, I always said, if you couldn't eat during the pandemic, not if you were sick, but if you couldn't eat during the pandemic, you don't know how to hustle, bro.
It was just you.
You don't know how to hustle, yeah.
So it was going up, and you got the call from Roku.
So it was the support online, because I had announced that I was doing the show. And prior to announcing that show, I would just be online talking shit anyway. Just, you know, posts and all of that shit. So I think it was like, oh, the dude that be talking shit on Facebook is now doing a show. And I had got so much support that Roku hit me up. And this is the time when Roku was starting their Roku content creators.
Yeah. I remember all this you told me.
Yes.
I've been following you for a minute, bro. So it's like, I know all this shit. I was going to ask you, what was the first platform you started on?
It was Roku. It was Facebook.
Like, but doing
it was simultaneously.
It
was simultaneous. It happened because I didn't have no content when I first started.
It was like, oh, let's go.
Yeah, so I did that. I worked with them, and then, you know, going to Roku and to the office, you meet other content creators. So I was on my own Roku channel, and I was on Girly Version, and I was on another channel that I don't speak of no more because business didn't go right with them. Fuck them.
I know how that
goes. So I was on three Roku channels, and then, like, I was just going live. And I'm going to be honest with you. During the pandemic, my numbers was up. But when niggas went back outside, them shits dropped heavy, bro. My numbers
everybody
dropped.
Was worried about having fun, doing their own thing.
Everybody was outside, bro.
It was lit.
So I was got depressed. I got depressed with the show. So this is, I'm in year two now. I started in 2020. I'm in like 2021. I just got depressed and I was like, it's over. Like 75 live viewers. Like, come on, nigga. Like, come on.
We need to pick that up.
I could do this shit in my backyard. I got 75 squirrels back there. Like, come on. So I just got, but I kept going. And one thing that happened is that I kept going. And shout out to Frost as Hell. And shout out to Awesome.
Shout out to Frost, man.
These are guys that was like, yo, we got to keep, especially Awesome. Like, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. And I just was doing it. It was times on when I was going live and I didn't want to fucking be live. It was times that during my show, it takes me 6 hours to prep the show. Because it's a news comedy variety show. So, you know, I'd say jokes that's pre-planned and shit like that. But it takes me 6 hours to prep it. So I was just in a depression. Like, I'm doing all of this work for fucking 50, 75 viewers. It's just crazy. Yeah. Shout out to... I want to shout out a couple people. I want to shout out M. Dot, Fresha, and Bianca Bentley, because they gave me the rocket pack that shot me forward from 2021, and it was at the end of 2021. So I was going through my whole 2021 doing that show depressed, like not happy with what was going on, and especially since I got spoiled, I came in heavy, shit just
That's
dropped. You know what I mean? Like,
so
Bianca, funny. Can I tell my story?
Shout
I don't want to be rambling, man.
Shout out to Bianca, man. That's a fact.
So, I meet M. Dot. I meet M. Dot, this dude that was a manager. He was doing events. M. Dot was doing events. Shout out to M. Dot, CEO M. Dot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had hit him up to interview an event that he was coming up for. Now, this is prior to me talking to Bianca. Bianca didn't know I did this. She didn't know. So I hit M. Dot up, and he was like, you know, we got media here already. We don't, I got you. It just won't be this shit when we're here. We covered on that. So that conversation happened in the summer of 2021. In the fall of 2021, Bianca Bentley hits me up, and she says, Sparrow, I need you to go to this Fresher event. No, she said, Sparrow, submit to this Fresher event. You don't got to go. I'm going to go, but I need to submit you. I need you to submit. So you got to submit on behalf of NWO News.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I'll do it. But she said, I'm going to go, though. You don't got to go because I know you don't want to go. But, just submit. I submit. I get approved. The day of the show, Bianca hits me up and says, Sparrow, I can't make it to the show. You have to go. Yeah, so I'm like, because I've never done outside media before. I was always where I was at doing it on the stream. I never did outside media before, so I didn't know how that worked. I didn't know if I didn't show up on my name's behalf, would they ever invite me out again? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I did go, and I met M. Dot there. I didn't know that M. Dot produced Fresher Show. He was one of the producers for Fresher Show.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, I'm here at NWO News. I'm lying. No. I had to hit up, Bianca told me prior to the show, maybe a few days before, that she couldn't make it. So I had hit up M. Dot prior. So he knew I was coming.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I was like, yo, you was the dude that I met that I said I wanted to. So he was like, yeah, I told you I got you, man. I told you, like, it was supposed to happen. And, you know, I talked with Fresher, and Fresher was like, yo, if you want to interview me, you got to interview all the artists here. I was like, okay, like, I never did this before. But shout out to Fresher, because those first interviews were horrible. They're still up to this day, but my camera work was bad. My mic was bad. It was just horrible. But I still took that footage. I still edited it, and I still had got it out to a lot of artists that didn't have no content at all.
To any content creators right now, if you feel like you recorded something and you like, put that shit out.
Yes. Put some gems on this, or drop some gems
put
when you
that
edit
shit
this
out, man. That's a fact.
So I did it. I did what Fresher said. I got the interview with Fresher, and magically everything worked when I interviewed him. So it just looked like it just could look crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But M. Dot invited me out the next show that they had, and Fresher pulled me to the side, and Fresher was like, yo, you know that content was horrible. Like, we know that this shit was horrible. So, but I was like, I came prepared. Like, I came ready. I had got a new mic. I got mad shit for it. And he was like, no, so I'm going to let you run this again, but you got to do better. And, like, I just did better. And Fresher made sure every big artist that he had got booked, came to my booth first before they did anything else. Fresher made sure of that. So shout out to Fresher. And then it just took off. I was just Brooklyn meeting shit. People that had events. And that's how it first started. I was meeting people that were doing it. Like, a person like you would have your own event. Ask me to come cover it. I would do it for free. Just get the content out. And then it was like, lo and behold, you know, not to my knowledge, I was working with artists that I didn't even know were big artists.
Yeah.
So that they were introducing me to their PR. And it was like, yo, I met this dude at this show. I want him to be at my listening party. So the PRs hit me up like, yo, we gonna pay you to be here.
Tough.
And it just happened like that, bro. Like, and it just...
That shit is literally a snowball.
Yeah, and it really was.
Rolling. Like, yeah, it just starts rolling, bro. That's fire.
Yeah, that's really just what it was. I mean, now, like... So when is this coming out?
I don't know yet, to be honest.
After April 5th?
In that time span.
Okay, so people know. So right now... I got hired to work WrestleMania.
Ooh.
So I'll be in Philly for 3 days
right?
straight. Yeah. I got hired for that. I got some other stuff coming, but that's how I have to make sure I can't announce certain things.
And The Rock got wrestling popping right now. It's about to be lit. You Cody crybabies.
Stop.
Y'all better chill.
I'm one of them.
Oh.
But yeah, so it's just so interesting to me how, like, when I look back and I'm like, yo, like, I don't even, sometimes, honestly, Hippie, I don't even know how I got here sometimes, because it just wasn't in the cards. It wasn't in the cards for me. It was just, you know, but the one thing I tried to do and remain is be myself. Like, just be yourself, because when that stops and you try to be something else, everything else is going to stop.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
So, yes, that's my journey. And
that's a fact, man. And shout out to your team, man. Like you said, everybody that's under NWO News, like Sparrow,
Frost as hell. We got Galaxy's Finest. Right, and Awesome had to take a break, but Awesome is family. He's not Awesome is just family.
Yeah, you got your Z when you need it. That's a fact, man. So, what's next for Sparrow?
Well, I'm opening my own studio space, and it's actually a done deal already. I'm trying to put the space together now. I need some graffiti artists, actually. So that's what's next for me, to be able to just make in-house content and give other people a platform at an affordable rate, at a way affordable rate, that they, you know, if they don't have. I know, like, for me trying to rent a spot to do a quick interview with somebody, I'm paying $75 per hour with a 2-hour minimum.
Right now. Yeah, she's ridiculous right now.
It's crazy right now.
That's why my studio right here. Yes.
I mean, so, I think, because, you know, honestly, when I do the bigger artists, I want them to feel comfortable. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's how I be feeling too, bro. I be feeling the same way, bro. So, when you feel like you're going to be that venture will be launching, summertime?
Well, the thing, it's going to open, it's supposed, the summertime, let me just say that. It's already done, the paperwork is done. I have
you space. You out here grinding and telling people about,
yeah,
like,
just
you
to get it.
Get this space or that.
Yeah. So you know, it's gonna be completed. Right now we're just designing it and making it sure it's right.
Dope.
And just make sure we have the things that before we came on, I asked him about this mixer board that he got here, and I asked him, does it connect to this? Because I don't know nothing about any of this shit. So I'm gonna have to bring in an engineer to my space.
Yeah, I ain't know nothing about it neither. We got lucky with our first studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we had our engineer, shout out to Fuego, House of Fire. I was just over his shoulder.
Yeah.
After every episode, just watching what he's doing and shit. I didn't have all the tools when the pandemic hit, so it was just like camera reversed, so the image was reversed,
uh-huh,
and no audio. So me and Cole was killing it for like 100 episodes, and then we started messing with somebody else, you know what I'm saying, and we had a studio with them, and I was looking over their shoulders, and then one of my exes bought these wires for me,
mm-hmm,
and I started learning what to do.
Yeah.
Eventually bought the camera. Now I do what I do. It is what it is now. Now I'm just looking for better tools to,
yeah,
upgrade the production, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm, that's it. Because I feel like the content is good. I feel like the cast is good. I feel like reaching out to people like you, and they're doing different interviews and shit like that, sit downs, you know what I mean? It's great. Because I get to get some knowledge. Hopefully, I get to give some knowledge. Yeah. And we get to give people, you know what I mean?
Some gems, so, man.
Yeah, man. I hope y'all enjoyed the conversation, man. And I appreciate you popping out, you know what I'm saying? It was raining. You ain't have to. You know what I'm saying?
I kept my word. I wanted to do this, man.
It was super important for me, and I was so happy that you popped out for the screening.
Yeah.
Because that was...
Shout out Dolly Tyson.
Shout out to Dolly Tyson, man. Big Tyson, never the little. You know what I'm saying? That's my girl right there, man. She crazy, bro. But, what else you want to give to the people before we get out of here, man?
We want to talk about... Come on, man. You tell me that did I answer all your questions? Did I talk about...
Yeah, movie? We good on that. Okay, we good cool. on that. What you thought about K-Dot verse?
I think that niggas want to be his friend in the industry, and he just don't care to be friends with these niggas, and he keeps reminding them. And I don't think that it's necessarily J. Cole, because I think they are cool. I want to believe they are cool. I think it's more so Drake, who, like Meg Thee Stallion says, tries to align himself with people through favors and shit like that. Like he said, she said, posted in another nigga hood using his accent like a bad bitch. So
and I said that on the last episode. I said it just so happens that Cole was on the block.
Yeah.
When Kendrick came through, like rah.
Yeah, nigga. It just so happened.
You chilling with that nigga for what?
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm not even a K-Dot fan like that. Okay. But I do know, like, On some real shit, more than anybody, more than Pusha T, more than Meek, you already know who K-Dot around in L.A. We already know. We don't even got to ask questions. Drake ain't going to play with him like that. See, he had all that smoke from Meg Thee Stallion for 2 years, and he talked so much shit about Meg Thee Stallion, but now you got a real rapper. She's a real rapper, but you got a man coming at you, and now you want to get peaceful about it and say, ain't nobody fucking with me.
So you don't think Drake going to respond?
No, he already had a chance to. He took the high road. He gonna do what he does. Drake does the.
It's been about I'ma a
say
week,
this
right?
And it means that and put this piece together. Like, we don't do that shit over here. I'ma push a T fan, nigga. We don't do subs over here.
I need a straight.
Yeah, like we don't do that.
You think Cole gonna say something?
I don't think he need to, because I think that wasn't for him.
Okay.
Even though he is the one who said we the big three, like we started the league.
Yeah.
But I think it was more for Drake than
good. Motherfuck the big three. It's just big B.
K-Dot is not like, come on. Drake is not a real rapper.
I'm not here for friends.
Yeah, he's not here for that. And you he's not a real rapper, bro. Real niggas do not fuck with real niggas that I know.
Aubrey? Nah.
They don't. Nah, bro. Not real niggas.
Like, when I first heard of him, right, I was like, oh, this dude Drake is fire.
Yeah.
But then, like, after the first album, I was like, I can't fuck with him.
And it's not even that. See, for me with Drake, it was that Drake was one of my favorite artists before. And I used to have conversations with people like, yo, this nigga flow crazy. Like, who got flows like Drake right now? Nobody. Then you find out he not even writing this shit. So it's like, oh, my God. Like, what? So I can't, you know, you already got
scary
that
hours for real.
That man. Monkey on your back. So I can't believe anything that he say fire. It came from him, because I thought that before. I once thought that the shit he was saying that was fire came from him, and it did not.
And then, like what you said, he just he's the Silver Surfer. He just take everybody wave. Like, come here. Like, so I just really I've been a Kendrick fan since I first heard Kendrick. So I'm always a Kendrick fan. And I'm a J. Cole fan, too. Mm-hmm. But I just love the verse. I think that Kendrick went crazy on it. You know what I'm saying? Just all the double entendres, like, everything. Niggas clicking up, but can't be legit. So, no 40 water. Like,
mm-hmm.
E-40, be legit. The click from back in the days, that shit is just so tough, bro. So, I just love the way that he raps. Like, I my favorite album of his is To Pimp a Butterfly. That's my favorite album.
That's the one
album,
that people Kendrick. Least like.
Yeah, that's my favorite album of his, because now most of the artists sound like that.
I got to go back and listen. You know what's funny to me? My favorite Jay-Z album is In My Lifetime Volume 1, which is most people's least favorite Jay-Z album.
My second favorite Jay-Z album, and is everybody's worst Jay-Z album, is Show Me What You Got.
Kingdom Come.
I was in the shelter. I was in the shelter at the time. He came back. I was feeling down. He made me feel up again. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so much underrated shit on that album.
Bro, you gave me your age earlier. When that album came out, we was deep in our early 20s.
I was Because I remember the time. I was in my senior year. I was 18.
Okay.
Because I was getting... I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was getting out of the shelter. We just came back from Puerto Rico. I went to Puerto Rico for my 18th birthday.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Yeah, it was like 19. Yeah.
Okay, so at that time, when that album came out, I didn't get it. I didn't understand, what, you know, 30s to 20 songs like that, Beach yeah. Chair. I didn't get it. So it was like, shit, trash, ho. What the fuck are you doing, nigga? But now that I'm older... And I listened back to that album. Yo, he was giving us gems that we weren't even ready to receive yet.
I received Beach Chair because my cousin right there,
mm-hmm.
he passed away. Mistaken identity, he got shot. So that song, when I hear it, life is just a beach.
I don't want to wake up.
It give me goosebumps years. Right now, bro.
And this that
I
beat.
Always doom, think about doom. Him. Yeah, it just feels like he was going up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, besides me, he was... older than me by a year, so he was the oldest grandson.
Yeah.
So he was the first kid from the kids to be born.
Yeah.
So then it was me. So he was the oldest one, so he was the only person that I looked up to.
Yeah.
And he was 6'5", 300.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But at this time, he was getting his health together and all that happened. So Beach Chair hit me. Like,
yeah.
And I was in the shelter with my family because we got kicked out the crib. We was only in there for like 3 months. Then we got this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right. But, I love Kingdom Come, bro.
It's a beautiful. I think it could be even more powerful than 444.
I think it's way better. It's my second or third favorite Jay-Z album. I think probably in front of it is Black Album and Blueprint. But I just love. I love that album, bro.
So for Volume One, what I loved about that album, and I put that one up against any Jay-Z album, but Jay showed us through the music. I had the feeling at the time when I was younger, but now that I'm older, I can interpret it. Jay showed us, do what you have to do to get where you have to go. That's what it was. And who was big at that time? Bad Boy was big at that time, Death Row. Jay-Z was still...
record after commercial record yeah. on that track.
And Jay said to himself, I am good, but I'm not being received as good because these big budget shits is going out. And he did Volume 1. And it went platinum, and it took him over that line to help him get to Volume 2 and Volume 3. And that's that feeling that I had then. Because like, I was a Jay-Z fan. I was a heavy Jay-Z fan then.
Then Blueprint, perfection.
Yeah.
Perfected it.
So for me, it would be Volume 1, Black Album. I remember that time was crazy. Top 3 would be Volume 1, Black Album, and maybe Blueprint would be 3.
In 2006, retired home. He said, yo, I'm retiring, man. I was like, nah.
That whole Black Album was crazy, bro. That whole Black Album went fucking ooh, crazy, bro.
Every track, no skips.
Yeah, that no was, skips, that's
his
no skips.
That's his Thriller.
Yeah.
That's his Thriller. That's his Thriller, bro. That album is so perfect, bro. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't skip a track.
You can't. Like, when I heard Lucifer.
Moment of clarity.
Lucifer, oh nah, nah, nah. I was like, what the fuck?
Nigga say, yo, Eminem did this beat. I said, tell that nigga stop rapping and making beats, bro. Cause I never was an Eminem fan. Keep making beats, nigga.
For Eminem whole, did that beat?
A Moment of Clarity.
Mm, dun, dun.
Thank God yeah. for granting yeah. this smoke. John, he went crazy on that shit, bro. Oh, we about to finish it cause we don't got no time left on this call. This call, we killed it.
Alright.
We killed the camera. I mean, I got another call with 10 minutes if you want to.
Nah, we good. Right. I think we did good.
Y'all already know what it is. If y'all made it this far, like, comment, subscribe. It's D-Reek and Hippie, the highest hippie in the room. So for NWO Sparrow, y'all already know what we about to do. Well, I'm about to get high. I don't know if he smoked, but we about to get up out of here, man. Like, comment, subscribe. We out of here, man. Yo, good looking for coming, brother.
No problem, man. Thank you. Oh, man. That was good, man. Yeah,
came here. Rick came here. Herbo came here. Oprah came here, Slim came here, but the Godson came and wasn't the same here. Sipping Stivers and champagne, think about the damn pain. See me, I do my damn thing. When it falls down, I know one thing.